in your worship and your praise. Come on, express your love for him. Glory to his name.
Oh, we love you, Lord.
Come on, come on, worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. If you're an able body, get up on your feet. Give the Lord a wave praise. Tell him you love him. Tell him you love him. He loves to hear it. Come on. Glory to his name. We didn't dress up for nothing. We didn't get dressed and come to the house of the Lord for nothing. We came to worship the Lord. We came to give him praise. Come on, I love you. Come on, let me hear you. Let me hear you. Come on, say it with them if you will.
With all my heart, with all my soul, Lord, I love you all my life. I love you, I love you. I know it ain't
so much to be thankful for.
You
didn't have to do it, but he did. Not that you deserve it. Give him your best praise. Come on, all over the house. Give the Lord a thunderous hand clap of praise. Glory to his name.
I love you.
Hallelujah. Come on, bless him today. Come on, bless him today. Every head bowed or eye closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for blessing us to be present in this place. Lord, you've given us a portion of health and strength, minds that sang, hearts that stayed on thee. Lord, you're God and you're God alone. You sit high, look low. You're above all and all is beneath you. You are our caregiver, our captain of our souls. Lord, what we are, you brought us. What we have, you gave it to us. What we know, you taught us. As always, Father, we worship you because you are worthy of all worship and praise. If it had not been for you on our side, we don't know where we'd be. But Lord, because you're on our side, we're in this place, in this sanctuary of New Bethlehem Baptist Church, clothed and in our right minds. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. You have forgiven us of all our sins and cleansed us from unrighteousness. Now, Father, as we bow, we decrease that you might increase. Less of us, more of you. And Lord, we need preaching power and preaching grace, that the words will go from my mouth, Lord, and will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish all that you sent it to accomplish. It is again we ask that you counsel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy, that nothing will hinder you, your word, your worship, your work. Lord, we pray for sinners. If there be one in our midst, Lord, we pray that your word will touch their sensitive ears. Lord, will penetrate their hearts and bring them into a savoring relationship with you. And those of us who are saved, Lord, we pray that you edify and encourage us to run on a little while longer to see what the end will be. Thank you, Lord. Have your way in us and through us for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, bless him one more time. Smile at somebody. Smile. Some of you don't have masks on. Let me see a smile on your face. Let me see a smile on your face. Amen. Turn around and smile at somebody. Let them know that you're glad that you're in the house of the Lord once again. Come on, smile. Smile hard as you can. Show you're 32. You're 30. You're 28. You're 26. Smile if you can. Even if you have a hole in the front, smile if you can. Come on, give the Lord some praise. I thought I would make you laugh. It's good for us to be alive, alert and active, for it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. My mother didn't stand for visitor recognition, but she's here. Amen. Y'all look at her. She looked like she happy to be here. Amen. Thank you for your prayers for my mother. She has had a heart attack, triple bypass surgery, cancer. And she has made it through. Satan gave his best shot. But the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Thank you, Lord, for sparing my mother and many more that we have prayed for. We have so many testimonials across this sanctuary. And we thank God for what he's doing. That God is faithful to look down from heaven upon us and bless us according to our needs and according to his desire for us. You know God want to bless you? I want you to work that in your spirit. He want to bless you. want to bless you. He wants you blessed because you are walking marquee. When people see you, they should say, there goes the grace of God. Amen. We are expressions of His grace. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, deacons and trustees, for devoting us. Choir for singing so melodiously. Blessing us in song. Musicians. Minister of music for playing so skillfully. And certainly to the ushers who have ushered us in. And to the environmental safety team who's in hibernation. Amen. If we need them, we'll call them out of hibernation. That they're in hibernation. And certainly to all of you, it's good for us to be here. I want to thank God for our media ministry, who makes a connection from this place to many homes and cars and devices. Come on, bless God for our media team. They are doing some new things, and so we don't want you to miss it. We want you to stay in touch with Facebook and YouTube, sermon audio, and all of that, so you don't miss the messages. Listen, what I need you to do now while you're standing is grab your devices and like and share as we are live. Send it to somebody that you know. Send it to all of your Facebook friends so they too can get the message with you. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me, I know y'all are not. Get your devices. If you don't know what you're doing, just grab it anywhere and just look like you know what you're doing. Get your devices. Listen, I want to say thank you too for your kindness and consideration. We turn another year on Friday, and thank you for the calls and the Facebook posts and the expressions of kindness and love. I've read cards and I've cried a little and read a little bit more. And listen, you may not believe it, but I keep every card. I have every card that I've received since I've been here for almost 3 years. Now, let me tell you what I'm doing with the cards. I keep the cards and, you know, I read the cards. And then when I look at you, I want to think and I want to believe that you still feel the same way about me. So I keep the cards. And so thank you for your expressions of love and kindness and consideration. It doesn't go unnoticed, and I appreciate it very much. If I could hug all of you, I would, but let me just, you know, kind of do it like this. And y'all know what that means. I love y'all, and I love you dearly. Thank you for your support. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24-29. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drown. Look at someone, if you will, and say, by faith. Come on, look at another and say, by faith. Come on, help me shout at the virtual audience, by faith. Amen. Bless the Lord on your way to your seat. By faith. By faith. By faith. As we have tiptoed through the premise of Hebrews chapter 11, we've discovered faith is action. It is an action word, an action verb. It's not so much of what we say as it is what we do. What we do as a consequence, the result of having confidence in God. That in having confidence in God, we trust God with our whole life. We say without shadow of a doubt, without reservation, that God is able. He's able to hold. He's able to keep. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. For we have confidence in God. We have a conviction from the Word of God that God's Word is true and it has no mixture of error. That it is absolutely true. It is not true because we think it to be true. It's true because it is true. That our conviction that we have from the Word of God that if God says it, it's settled. We have come to a point and a place in our walk with the Lord where we stop arguing with God. Matter of fact, the Word says, how can two agree? How can two walk together except they be agreed? We have this conviction from the Word of God. We have this consciousness of God. That God is creator. God is sustainer. All of what we see is not the product of evolution. It is the response of God and God speaking into existence. That He is creator. And what He has created, He sustains. He's keeping it. This faith in God that causes us to act in obedience unto God. It is 19 by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Sarah, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses. By faith, the people of God, by faith Rahab. Faith. We tap into this thing called faith, something we've been grappling with all our days. But now we are beginning to be settled in what faith in God is. That is more than what you want. is more than, you know, what you say. It is the proper response unto the command of God. And that proper response is obedience. Come on, y'all, say that big word with me. Obedience. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, if you want to know what faith is, faith is obedience. Come on, help me preach, y'all. Y'all look at another and say, if you want to know what faith is, faith is obedience. Obedience unto God, regardless of the circumstances and consequences. Here it is in the text, Exodus chapter 1. This is the backdrop of this particular text, and it links the history of the family of Jacob and their migration into Egypt with the suffering of the descendants of Jacob 400 years later under the dominion of a new Egyptian ruler. It is in this context that we find Moses, born to Hebrew parents by the name of Amram and Jochebed. For it is in Exodus chapter 1 that we see the faith of Amram and Jochebed, in that the king Pharaoh set out a decree, and he said to all of the midwives, when the Hebrew women are on the birthing stool, we need you to take the baby, if it's a boy baby, and kill the boy baby. Infanticide. We need you to kill that child between a day old and a year old. In verse 23, we get a glimpse of the faith of Amram and Jochebed, in that they preserved Moses' life. They hid Moses. Against the decree of the king, they hid Moses for 3 months. And after 3 months, they had a basket that they pitched in with asphalt and pitch. Matter of fact, Exodus chapter 1 calls it an ark. And they put baby Moses in the basket and sent him out on the Nile. You know, God is quicker than quick, and he comes faster than in a hurry. Because while that baby was among the reeds down on the Nile, Pharaoh's daughter came to the Nile to bath. And she saw that basket, and when she opened that basket, there was Moses, a bouncing baby boy. And instead of her drowning Moses in the Nile River, Moses' sister said to her that, if you want me to find someone to nurse the child, I can do that. And she gave the baby to Moses' sister, and Moses' sister took the baby back to his mother Jochebed, where she nursed him until it was time for him to be weaned. And it's in chapter 1 of Exodus, chapter 2 of Exodus, that Moses was brought to the house of Pharaoh, and he became Pharaoh's daughter's son. He grew up in Egypt as a prince, because being the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was high in their society because he was known as the grandson of Pharaoh. He grew up, he stayed in the palace for about 40 years. 40 years learning as an Egyptian. 40 years prosperous as an Egyptian. 40 years prominent as an Egyptian. A Hebrew boy adopted by an Egyptian. And by way of adoption, he was privileged. And there he was for 40 years. Until he saw a soldier, an Egyptian soldier, mistreating a Hebrew slave. It was something on the inside of him that wouldn't let him hold his peace. You know, when you put it on the inside, it's something about what's on the inside that'll make its way to the outside. When he saw the Egyptian soldier mistreating the Hebrew slave, he went out and killed the Egyptian soldier. Now, let me help you understand what faith in God does not cause you to do. Faith in God does not cause you to be false and phony in your identity. You know, I don't know about you, but I've run across so many people that proclaim and claim to have faith that's so phony. Listen, faith in God doesn't eliminate you from having problems. You don't always have to act like it's okay. You don't always have to act like things are going well for you to have faith in God. Sometimes you need to be true about what you are going through and true about who you are. Moses knew he was a Hebrew. He knew he was not an Egyptian. He didn't have Egyptian blood in his body. He had Hebrew blood, Jewish blood in his body. So he didn't have to falsify his identity. You know, some folks you meet in church on Sunday one way, and you meet them somewhere else on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They have some other kind of identity. It's like you don't even know them. You know, it's like they have hit the switch. They have turned off everything they know about God when they leave the sanctuary and turn it back on when they get ready to come back. Listen, you don't have to be false in your identity. Be who you are all the time. And in being in who you are all the time, that does not cancel out your faith. He knew he was a Hebrew. And he had wealth. But his wealth didn't change him. He had the finest of rags. But his clothing didn't change him. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. He had makeup on his face because, you know, Egyptians wore makeup. Even the men wore makeup, but the makeup didn't change him. He had a good chariot, you know, with 20 foals and 20 sixes on the chariot, but that fancy chariot didn't change him. He had a room in the palace that was plush, but it didn't change him. He knew who he was in the Lord. You let some folk get some stuff, they go to change him. He wasn't false. In his identity. He knew he didn't have the blood of Pharaoh in his body. And he acted in faith when he saw the suffering of the Hebrew people. Now, let me help you understand. Now, here it is. He's in Egypt, in the palace of Pharaoh. Egypt culture is polytheistic. In that, they worship more than one God. What his mother put in him stayed with him when everybody else around him was worshiping false gods. He was worshiping the God. That's a word for somebody here. We're in a culture that's polytheistic. We're in a culture that worships more than one God. You don't have to serve the gods of the culture. You better keep your eyes and keep your mind, keep your heart stayed on the Lord. Because when God sees you in your moments of despair, he's not like the other gods that have hands that can't hold you, that have eyes but can't see you, have a mouth and can't speak to you, have legs and can't come to you. God will come to you, pick you up. Somebody in here acting like you know him. He wasn't false in his identity because of the conditions and culture he was raised in. He was brought up in. He had God on the inside. Let me pause parenthetically to say to us, parents, you have children, you better bring them up with the Lord on the inside of them. I got to repeat it again. Don't you dare let them stay at home on Sunday while you getting dressed coming out to the house of the Lord. You ought to be like Joshua. For me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You can't sit at home while I'm at church. You can't play video games while I'm at church. You can't be out there playing marbles while I'm at church. You can't be smoking those left-handed cigarettes while I'm at church. I'm trying to put some on the inside of you that'll sustain you when Satan turns up the dial in your life. That'll keep you from being false and phony in your identity. Not only was Moses faithful to his identity, he was not false by faith in his identity, but secondly, notice faith chooses to separate from any and everything that takes you from God. The text mentions the wealth, the treasures of Egypt. Now, we remember Egypt was the only place that had grain during the famine. And for people to get the grain, they had to trade. They had to give up their wealth, what was precious to them, to gain or get food to sustain them during the famine. So here it is. Egypt is a wealthy place. Not only was it because of the trade, but Egypt had marshland. About 150 miles of marshland that caused it to be a wealthy place because they grew a whole lot of agriculture. They had a lot of plants that people came to Egypt to purchase because it was the fertile place of Mesopotamia. It was a prosperous place. It was a scientific place. They figured out how to irrigate water from the marshland to the cities within the kingdom. So it was a scientific, it was before its time. It was wealthy because they had jewels. Matter of fact, when Egypt came out, God told them to go borrow gold and jewels from the Egyptians, and he gave them supernatural debt cancellation. When he brought them through the Red Sea, he canceled out their debt. It was a wealthy place. And here it is. Moses is in the midst of position in this prosperity. And the Bible says that he, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He had access to wealth as son of Pharaoh's daughter, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, inevitably caused Moses to reject the riches of the treasures of Egypt. The reproach of Christ. I like how the Hebrew writer talks about the reproach of Christ. Reproach means to be verbally taunted or mocked. Jesus was made a mockery when he was crucified. They joked and just, they taunted and mocked him. Matter of fact, the sign, King of the Jews, was mockery. The crown of thorn that was hammered on his head, mockery. The purple robe to denote royalty that they took and tore was mockery. They mocked Christ. And here the Hebrew writer said that Moses chose to be identified with the mockery of Christ because he saw that the mocking of Christ, the reproach of Christ, the riches were greater riches than the riches of Egypt. Listen, while you are in the world, you have to understand that God has a different economy. God has a different system. He knows how to get to you what you need when you need it. Now, you may not be rich in houses and land. You may not have a cattle on a hill or two. You may not even have a fine home to live in. But listen, you still qualify in God's kingdom. Because wealth don't define you. Wealth don't identify you. It does not define you. It does not describe you. Wealth in the world, if you are living for it, may just be an enemy of God. That's why Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That there's something in this life that's more precious than the wealth of the world. The riches of Pharaoh's kingdom was nothing in comparison to eternal relationship with God. I want y'all to work it in your spirit. Because for some of you, the reason you breathe is to get. You living and spending all of your days, all but Sunday, chasing after wealth and riches. And you know, when the question come up, how much is enough? You know your answer is a little bit more. You're chasing after the wealth of the world. Listen, I come to understand early and realize early that if you pursue God, God will make riches chase you. See, you ain't got to chase it. God will sick it on you. Is there anybody in here that have had God to sick a blessing on you? You know you blessed because God sent the blessing your way. God says, sick him, sick her, sick him, sick her. God sick the blessing on you because you spend your time chasing God. He gave it all up. To obey God. He gave it all up. You know, you don't have to ask the text. You know, he says the pleasures of sin in Pharaoh's house. What made Pharaoh's house sinful? Two things. The first is there were false gods. The second was obedience unto God was not in Pharaoh's house. Y'all missed it. Let me give it to you again. The first one was false gods that Pharaoh and his people were not of the chosen people of God. They were heathens. They didn't know God. Although God had demonstrated himself to them, they still did not identify with God. Because to identify with God, they would have had to give up all of the other gods. See, when you are with God, you can't have idols in a corner somewhere. You can't have them in your back pocket or in your front pocket or in your shirt pocket. Listen, when you identify with God, God makes you give up all of the gods. False gods made it sinful. But then it would have been sinful for Moses to reject the command of God to remain in Pharaoh's house. Because the assignment of God was against the house of Pharaoh. See, God, he will call you out from among and give you a new assignment. And you have to be willing to leave your surroundings. Leave heathenistic people around you to go in pursuit of God to fulfill the will of God for your life. But if I had time, I would tell you, some of you have not stepped into the will of God because you worried about everybody around you. You worried about what they think, what they're going to say. You worried about losing them. Listen, I come to understand that in God's economy, there is divine addition and there's divine subtraction. He'll run some folks out of your life. He couldn't stay in the house where the riches were. Because God had an assignment for his life. And he had to leave the comfort of Pharaoh's house to experience the joys of the Lord. He had to make a choice. He had to make a choice. He had to make a choice. Choose. He had to make a choice. I set before you good and evil. You choose. I set before you life and death. You choose. He had to make a choice. And he chose to suffer the affliction of his people because he wanted to be identified with the reproach of Christ. So he left Pharaoh's house. I'm done when I give you the third point. Faith is the third point now. Has confidence in God for future reward. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked for the reward. See, you have to always check self. You have to always check self and make yourself is aligned with the reward of God. You have to always say to self, self, what I want more than anything else is an eternal relationship with God. That if I don't have an eternal relationship with God, I have lived all of my life in vain. It doesn't matter how much I have in the bank, what name, brand of clothes I'm wearing, how many people I know uptown and downtown. When it comes time for my head to press a dying pillow and my tongue glued to the roof of my mouth and my eyelids closed, all that's gonna matter then is my eternal relationship with God. I don't want to do this for nothing. I want God to be pleased when he looked down upon my life and say, son, you're doing well. When you're going when you don't feel like going, son, you're doing well. When you smile when you don't feel like smiling, son, you're doing well. When you give up your right for your fellow man wrong, son, you're doing well. When you fight through the valleys and clap on the mountain, son, you're doing well. I want to hear him say, well done. I got to leave you now. But the text says that Moses, he kept the Passover, killed the Paschal lamb, sprinkled blood on the doorposts. You know, when you're with God, God will give you divine instructions. He'll show you how to avoid death. He said, sprinkle the blood on the doorposts. And when I send the death angel through, he will kill every firstborn child in the houses that don't have the blood sprinkled on the doorposts. I thank God for the blood, because Moses is a shadow of Jesus to come. Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. Jesus, our will in the middle of a wheel. Jesus, our bright and morning star. Jesus, our way out of no way. Jesus, our bridge over troubled water. Jesus, our bread in a starving land. Y'all act like you don't know it. Jesus, our life, movement and activities. I thank God for Jesus, because Jesus shed his blood. And when he died on the cross, he was dying on the cross so death would pass over us. Thank God for Jesus. How many of you know he did die? He died until the moon dripped away in blood. He did die. He died until the sun refused to shine. He died until the earth reeled and rocked like a drunken man. How many of you know he died? If you know he died, why don't you stand on your feet and slip your hand in somebody's hand and say, neighbor, he died. He died until the veil of the temple was rent. He died until the silver stars fell from their silver socket. How many of you know he died? He died when he dropped his head in the locks of his shoulders. They took his lifeless body down from the cross, put him in a borrowed tomb, and whatever you borrow, you got to give it back. He only needed it for a few days and a few nights. Friday night, he was still in the grave. Saturday morning, he was still in the grave. Saturday at noonday, he was still in the grave. Saturday night, he was still in the grave. But early, early Sunday morning, before the rooster could sing his song, before Mary and them could make it to the tomb, before the S-U-N could crack the eastern sky, before the wind could blow, before the dew fell on the ground, your Savior and my Lord, your way out of no way, your kinsman redeemer, your horse pawing in the valley for some old mother or father, your walking cane, your Lord and my Savior, he got up Sunday morning with all power in his hand. If you know he got up, let me hear you holler. He got up. He got up. He got up. And let me ask you my question. Ain't he all right? Let me hear you say, yeah. The doors. The doors. The door of the Lord's house stands ajar. Faith. in the Lord doesn't make you false in your identity. You have a choice that you must make. And the choice is you obey God. You have to give up some things. But listen, God will never let you outgive Him. When the rich young ruler walked away because he felt the requirement of eternal life was too great, the disciples looked at Jesus and said, "We too have given it all up." Jesus says, "There's not one of you that will not receive 100-fold in this life." He'll never let you outgive Him. Stop chasing wealth and riches. Trust God to meet your needs. I'm going to tell you this one and then I'm done. We were young, 21, 22, and we were students, Mississippi State campus. And they were giving us assistance. Back then they had food stamp coupons that came in the mail. And I'll never forget going to the mailbox, opening the mailbox, and there was a book of coupons. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, I don't want to live on the government. All of my days, I want to trust You." That same month, they cut the stamps off. My wife, she went to crying. She said, "Oh, Lord, what are we going to do?" They cut the stamps off. But I can testify from that day to this one, we haven't missed a meal. I wanted to live off the kingdom of God that God promises are true and they are real, and we can trust Him. We have gone from one degree of grace to another. And all of I've done in my adult life was preaching pastor. And I believe this, God has a way of balancing the scale. When you trust Him with your whole life, what you think you're giving up by turning away from the world, God will give you that plus more. Trust Him. Make your choice. Make Jesus your choice. And know that He'll deliver you and bring you out. He dried up the Red Sea. And they crossed on dry ground. But when the enemy pursued, God set at ease the waters, and Pharaoh's army was drowned in the sea. Let me tell you something. God is still dealing with enemies of His people. These are more than stories we hear and read. He still deals with enemies of His people. You don't have to fight. Take the gloves off. Take the knives out your pocket. God will fight for you. If you trust Him, if you live by faith, your life in accordance to His will. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. Come. Come. Secondly, if you're here, if you're backslidden, the altar of the Lord is open to you. Thirdly, if you're here, need of a church home, and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart as a faith family, as a place for you to grow and be nurtured up in the Word of God. Come. If you need salvation, restoration, family and fellowship, come. 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 Come on. Is all I need to hear the Lord say, I'll be with you. If He's with me, He's more than the whole world against me. Listen to Him. Hallelujah. Listen to the Lord speak to you. His name. Y'all listen to me now. Next Sunday is First Sunday. And I want women in white, if you can, and men in black, white shirts, have your choice. We want a white out for women, black out for men. And we be a family. I want us to be in unity and uniform. White for women. Black for men. Can you do that? I want every woman, every little baby. Go and buy them some white if you can. Bring those babies. Come on. And be in your white. The men in the black. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. Father, we thank you for your divine visitation, your divine instructions. Thank you, Lord, for manifesting your presence in this place. As the men of Emmaus said of Christ, while he communed with them, did not our hearts burn? Lord, we say the same because you have manifest your presence. Now, Father, we make ready to leave this place, but never your divine presence. We know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Give us your grace. Lord, your love. Keep with us the communing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we'll be safe, sound. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And every heart say amen. Amen. Be blessed today.